Blog Talk Radio.
Of Carson's Corner, the MMA version. We're doing the afternoon thing here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Bob Carson, and we have a very, very good show for you here today. Eric Prindle and Dan Quinn, I had an opportunity to get updates from each of those individuals. They've been longtime guests here, longtime friends of the program here on Carson's Corner. And I just want to warn you that when I spoke to Dan last week or so, My cell phone reception has been a real disaster. Metro PCS, I'm actually going to be getting a new cell phone service provider because all the calls drop here. the service is getting progressively worse, and I'm tired of it. I really am. I can't even take any phone calls anymore. I can't even make any phone calls. I can't receive phone calls where I'm staying now. It's terrible. So you'll notice when Dan called me, the call dropped at several points. And I felt bad because Dan is calling me from Sacramento County Jail. And so, you know, he has to buy minutes. And so he wasted minutes. And Dan was a little bit upset, and I can understand that. But I'm in the process now of getting a landline. So I should have landline service pretty soon, which may force me to take Dan's collect calls. I don't know if I'm going to have to see how much that is. I'm going to have to see what the situation is there. But hopefully once I get my landline service and we get that straightened out, I can give you, you know, consistent updates with Dan and of okay quality to where the point where the calls are not dropping. So we've got that coming up. That's only about 10 minutes or so, or 10 or 12 minutes, my update with Dan. He's been in jail almost 2 years now. He's going to be going to trial now. His case has been really a mess. It's been very, very complicated. And, he's doing well. He put on about, I don't know, maybe 40 or 50 pounds. He's about 240, 250 in there. He does have a gut. He's not able to ingest stevia. And, the conditions there at Sacramento County Jail are very, very harsh. A lot of these inmates are not given the proper food because the food services industry has been privatized largely, and so now we're hearing the horror stories of the mistreatment of our nation's inmates and people that are on death row and people that are awaiting trial, and it's really unfortunate that someone like Dan could be waiting almost 2 years for a trial. And for arguably not that serious of a crime, not a violent crime. And so that's really unfortunate. And then I had an opportunity to speak to Eric Prindle the other day. Eric Prindle, of course, Bellator heavyweight fighter. He lost two of his last two fights in Bellator, one to Peter Graham, which is a very, very good fight, a very exciting fight for the fans, in which Eric took a lot of punishment but came up and fought with a lot of heart, lost that fight via unanimous decision. And then his last fight versus Javi Ayala last March at Bellator, I think 111 or 113, not sure. And that was really a disappointing fight. And, you know, there was a little backstory to that fight. And Eric, you'll hear that when Eric, when we play the update, where Eric supposedly sustained an injury backstage, and that affected his performance. And I was disappointed because I like Eric, and I want to see him do well in MMA, and I think he lost to a lesser opponent. That's just my opinion. Javi Ayala is not a world beater. He's something like 8-5. He's probably not going to win any championships in any, decent organization. And that's not disparaging him. It's just the reality. And so Eric's Achilles heel has always been the takedown defense, okay? Losing to Ayala, Cole Conrad, losing by Kimura, got taken down relatively early in that fight. And that's what he needs to work on. And so we got a good update with him. He's going to be fighting sometime soon. Doesn't know when he's going to be fighting in Bellator, but you've got a lot of heavyweights in Bellator, a lot of guys that you haven't really heard of that, have okay records, decent records, because they haven't fought anybody, noteworthy. And Eric would make good fights for these guys. And so, we'll have to see what Bellator does with him. But, I got to tell you, in general, the sport of mixed martial arts, and I know I speak for some people in the independent media, when I say that I'm really not even interested in covering the sport anymore. I'll tell you, the only reason why I do this show now is because of the fighter interviews, because of the relationships I've built built over the years of me doing this podcast. I can't stand the sport of MMA now. I think the UFC dominates mixed martial arts. I think that the cards that they put, their roster is just completely saturated. And what is the point of covering this anymore? I mean, there's almost no legitimacy to the sport of mixed martial arts. You have a rinky-dink media landscape with these fanboys and real no analysis given to the sport. You really don't have a ranking system in mixed martial arts, and it's like, who cares now, really? It's just these cards are just put together. These reality shows have no meaning anymore, and it's just I really can't be too interested in the sport of mixed martial arts. And it wasn't always like that. You know, I would say that this really all started to deteriorate when you started to get, the bigwigs, the corporations involved with covering the sport of mixed martial arts, ESPN and Spike TV, all these different corporate-owned media outlets, and it just dilutes the sport, in my opinion. And it's like, really, who cares anymore? I'm sorry. The only reason why I do this now is just to interview fighters, which I still feel that we do the best interviews here on Carson's Corner, the most in-depth interviews, the best anywhere. And that's something that nobody really could take away from us, I think. And the relationships I've built over the years, okay? And I still like watching the sport, and I still care about the general welfare of the athletes. I think that's, another reason why I still do the show, because the sport is so lopsided and so unequal in terms of pay and all these different things. And now you've got a lot of fighters that are retiring, in their 30s, in their early 30s. And that's a sad indictment on the sport of MMA, and it's just meaningless. What is it? When you listen to these shows, you listen to some of the shows on Sirius and other online shows analyzing matchups. Oh, look at this guy! What does it all mean in the end? I mean, this stuff depreciates. Fighters depreciate. They become almost irrelevant, and it's unfortunate. No, it really is. So that's just my take. That's just where I'm at now with the sport of mixed martial arts, and it's just it's almost a drag. And you listen to what Eddie's doing on No Holds Barred, and Eddie is really kind of moved past MMA, and he'll tell you that he's now focusing on grappling and catch wrestling. And Eddie's kind of been all over the place over the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, I remember there was a point where, he was really focusing on roller derby and whatnot, and that never panned out for whatever reasons. And then now, I think Eddie is a born fighter, and Eddie is a true journalist. And Eddie is valuable to the sport of mixed martial arts because he was there right from the beginning. And still, this is one of the main problems. Is Eddie and people like John Peretti and others, they're just completely discarded by the new guys, the Johnny Come Lately media guys and websites and the corporate media landscape. And it's just, it's really unfortunate. It really is. But that's the world in which we find ourselves in. All right. I'm going to play you the Eric Prindle update first. Like I said, we got a good update with our good friend Eric Prindle not too long ago. And I'm going to play you that. And then from there, we're going to play the Dan Quinn update, which is only about 12 minutes or so. So here it is. Here is Eric Prindle first here on Carson's Corner. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on the phone with our good friend Eric Prindle, heavyweight Season 5 or Tournament 5 champion in Bellator. And Eric has been a really, really good friend of the program. He's one of the best guys that I've known in MMA
has a huge heart, one of the kindest people that you will see in the sport of mixed martial arts. And that really comes out when you see Eric on television, just the camaraderie that he has. He expresses the great sportsmanship, and he's an overall great guy. However, his last couple fights didn't go as planned. I was watching his fight at Bellator 111. I remember this particularly because I was in Atlanta, Georgia at the time for my residency, and Eric was fighting Javi Ayala, who it was a frustrating fight to watch, and the fight, I believe, ultimately ended as a result of a referee stoppage. And I want to talk to Eric about this fight and much more. But, Eric, welcome back to Carson's Corner.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. As I mentioned, your last fight with Javi, not taking anything away from Javi, I mean, you know, but I just, it was frustrating for me to watch that because, you know, I honestly felt that you are a better caliber of fighter, and I felt that, you know, you really should have won that fight, and obviously, you know, he didn't want to strike. He got numerous takedowns throughout the fight, and there was an eye poke in either round two or round three, and that affected you, and you had a nasty cut. So just kind of give the fans out there a perspective on that fight, if you would.
Well, first of all, I'm not making any excuses. He beat me fair and square. Actually, before the fight, I was going to put on my jock strap and stuff. There were some women in the locker room, so I went into the other bathroom. And as I was walking out, my dumb butt was texting. Well, on the ground, there were some cables, and I tripped and twisted my back a little bit, basically just threw my back out. So, you know, long story short, he beat me, but there was some circumstances that no one knew about. Basically, I couldn't breathe all the way in. My back was pretty jacked up from me tripping. So, long story short, he beat me, but I'm sure we'll fight again one day, and he'll get better, I'll get better, we'll see what happens.
Do you think that if that injury didn't occur, that you would have done better in that fight?
Definitely. You know, I've been training with some really good guys, Josh Barnett, Jackie May, Gooch, a bunch of guys, and I've been able to get up off my back. So I don't think, Ayala is a great fighter. He has great potential, but I don't think he would beat the guys I've been training with. If I can get up off my back on that, why couldn't I do it on this particular night? You know, either it was a combination of my back messing up or, you know, me just not living up to my potential or, you know, stuff just going wrong, so... But, hopefully Bellator will give me another chance and I'll show what I can do. If I can do half as well in training I could do in a fight, I'm going to win the fight. So that's all I basically want to start doing is just, you know, get my groove back, getting some wins under my belt and start moving up the ranks in Bellator.
Now, was my memory correct when I said that there was an eye poke in this fight?
Oh, yeah, my eye actually got cut pretty bad, the white part of the eye. It was so bad, I had I don't know what it's called, the sclera. There was a cut. I actually had to go to the doctor and get it checked out. And they wanted to put stitches in it and stuff like that, but I decided not to due to the I would like a civilian doctor to do something along that lines, you know, messing with their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Michael Bisping, you know, who recently fought Tim Kennedy and lost, had a detached retina, and he had several surgeries, and his eye looks ridiculous. He's got this oil in his eye now, and he's got to keep it in there as long as he wants to continue to fight. And Michael Bisping is 35 years old. He doesn't know how long he's going to be fighting for, and you know, it's just risky. It really is. It's like it almost is that when you're fighting, you're almost better off not doing anything, getting any type of eye surgery if you intend on fighting again.
Oh, definitely. Well, I trained actually with Bisping my last camp. He came down to CSW Combat Submission Wrestling with Eric Paulson, and he was phenomenal. He actually took me down a couple of times, got back up. I didn't do any striking with him really due to, you know, his eye.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you don't want to take any damage, especially with the heavyweight and him being a littler guy. So, but it was good training with him. All his guys are awesome, and it was definitely fun.
Now, your last fight, you lost your last two fights in Bellator. The last fight before the Ayala fight was Peter Graham, and that was a much, much better fight, I think, for the fans to watch, because that fight was primarily stand-up. And, you know, I remember posting on Facebook that although you lost that fight, you displayed a tremendous amount of heart. And this is the heart, undoubtedly, that Bellator and any organization wants to see. You know, a big heavyweight like yourself that has knockout power and likes to get into a brawl, and has a chin, is something that the fans, you know, want to see. And it was very, very interesting because Peter Graham did very well. Now, he kicked you. He had that big front kick that it looked like you were going to be knocked out. And then you regained yourself and you managed to fight to a decision. What were your thoughts on that fight?
It was the last second of the round. Actually, what happened was I got hit, and me being embarrassed, I popped back up, and I was actually laughing just because I couldn't believe I got caught with that. You know, when you don't see it, that's the punch that hurts you. So
yeah.
It was just a flash knockdown. I got back up, and the fight was over, and I was a little frustrated that I couldn't capitalize on or, you know, give something back that he gave to me. So, but Peter Graham's a great fighter, and definitely would like to fight him again one day. He's definitely an awesome stand-up fighter.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
Well, you know, he fought, when you fought Javi, he fought on the same card, I believe, and Peter Graham lost to Mighty Mo. But, you know, prior to that, when he fought you, it just seemed that he was able to get off his punches and his kicks a little bit faster than you were. And what do you think it was in that fight that enabled him to do that? I mean, was it something that you weren't doing? Was it you weren't getting in close enough and just kind of, you know, popping off your punches fast enough? Or what do you think was the difference in the fight?
Honestly, I think for me, I've been training with some of the best guys in the world, and I get a hold of my own for the most part. So what I need to do is train well and put that training actually into the fight. I think the last couple of fights I've had, I don't know what's happened. It seems like there's a disconnect between my training and when it's time to get into the match. It's almost like I'm there just to have fun instead of to win. And I need to get away from that. I need to go back to the drawing board and honestly just start training to maybe just start hurting people and you know, getting the wins start coming. Because I definitely need to do that if I want to stay in Bellator, because Bellator is a huge up-and-coming company, and there's better and better fighters, and, you know, you can't be a slacker and keep fighting for Bellator. So I need to get back on the card and win some fights.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you're probably going to have to, you know, to figure out exactly what to do and whatnot. I mean, you know, some guy, I don't know. It's just like some guys can perform very well in training, and then, you know, sometimes during the fight, depending upon the circumstance, you know, the personal circumstance, it just doesn't always pan out. I mean, it's just difficult. I guess probably the only person that's going to be able to fix that would be you.
Yeah, definitely. I just need to get back in the training with some great guys that, you know, have a great takedowns and good on the ground. Just keep working and, you know, keep on training every day and just try to get better. And if Bellator lets me fight for them, I need to make a big statement and show that I know I have enough power to knock out anybody with either hand, and I just need to get in there, keep the fight standing, and show it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any idea when your next fight is going to be? Have you heard anything from Bellator?
No, not yet. I'm going to call them fairly soon. I had a couple of offers for smaller shows. Bellator has let me fight. I fought in Mexico, I believe, a little while ago.
Yeah.
I think what I would like to do is have, if possible, have a couple or one or two small fights, get back on the win streak, and have a great fight for Bellator and, you know, hopefully get in the next tournament or something, if I could show my potential, what I can do.
Yeah, and that's something that Bellator has been willing to do, you know, in the past. They I mean, when you fought Vince Lucera last year in Mexico, and that was when, you know, you were still under contract with Bellator, which we don't see that with the UFC. And I think that's important to, you know, to fight perhaps in some, you know, local Arizona shows. There are shows all across the country that I'm sure you can fight and just kind of, you know, regain your step and whatnot. Is there anybody in particular that you'd want to fight in Bellator, or does it matter?
No, not really. I just want to fight someone that would make a good fight and that they would like to stand up and bang and, you know, have a crowd-pleasing fight. That's what I would like to do, but it seems like every person except Peter Graham, which he's a phenomenal kickboxing, you know, did K-1 and whatnot. I tried to take him down once, but I just didn't have it in me. But I think also with that fight, I had great cardio coming up to that fight, and something happened to me. It seemed like I threw one combination and I was already gassed. I don't know if that was from nerves or what, but it seems like I need to stop thinking so much and get in there and just do it. And that's the plan for the next couple of fights. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do 100% and see what happens.
Yeah, that could be a paralysis by analysis. You know,
yeah, exactly. I think I'm thinking too much because I am learning, you know, certain takedowns and stuff. So if I'm in training, it just kind of flows because it's not a big deal if you make a mistake. But when you get up in the fight and you second-guess your takedown or you're not going at 100% or running the takedowns together or even the opposite of that, you know, standing up and keeping the fight standing, I think I'm thinking way too much what to do instead of just doing it.
Yeah. You know, and I'm going over the Bellator roster here, and there are a lot of guys on the heavyweight roster that I've never heard of that are undefeated or close to undefeated, and there's just a mixture of individuals. So Bellator should really have no problem putting you against a decent opponent that, you know, would give the fans a good fight.
Definitely. I think that's what it's all about, is giving back to the fans and, you know, having a phenomenal fight that people want to either pay to see or just, you know, watch on Spike TV and keep their eyes glued and, you know, not even, like, if they have to go to the restroom, they either they're going to DVD it or TiVo it, or, you know, hold on to what they have to. I just I want to have phenomenal fights. That way, you know, when I'm dead and gone, that people back in, you know, sad, a lot of heart, had a good chin, and I could fight well. And hopefully my kids will be proud, and that's to me, that's what life's about, is you know, what you leave back for other people to think about you, basically.
Yeah, I agree. I certainly agree. Do you have a time frame as far as when you want to fight next?
I'm hoping about 4 weeks. I'm hoping, but who knows if Bellator will allow me to. I got to call them and, you know, see what they're thinking, and see if I can have a smaller fight on a venue that's, you know, not going to be on TV or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just having, you know, basically get back in the groove. And if a confident fighter is a dangerous fighter, and that's what I need to get my confidence back, start winning some fights, and be dangerous when I get back in the Bellator.
Now, are you still training with the same guys, Overeem and Eric Paulson and Josh Burnett and those guys?
Right now, I'm in Prescott, Arizona. I've been training with the lab, with Ashley Gooch and a couple other heavyweights there. Actually, a little while ago, what was his name? The tall, light heavyweight that went to heavyweight. He trains in Arizona.
No, I don't know. Travis Brown?
No, he's in UFC, but he was in Bellator. He was fought in the light heavyweight tournament and then went to the heavyweight tournament, lost against Santos, won against Santos, knocked his tooth out. He came there and trained with us for a little bit. Ashley Gooch is actually a great, good friend of mine. He's a great fighter. He's going to be probably coming up in the UFC not too long from now if he keeps getting the W's. But he's about 6'3", I think 6'2", weighs about as much as I do, and he's a pretty good ground game, pretty solid guy. I've been training with him.
Now, give people information as far as, I know you have your website up and running. It looks very nice over there, and your sponsors and whatnot, and tell people how they could keep in contact with you to keep updated on when you're going to be fighting and developments in your career.
Yeah, you could look up, it's ericprindle.com is my website, and my Twitter, I think, is ericprindlemma, and on Facebook, it's just under Eric Prindle. If you guys want to contact me and just ask any questions, I'm pretty, sometimes I say too much, I think my wife says, so if you guys want to contact me, let me know. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to do that.
Now, real quickly, give us an update on our good friend Shannon Rich. He liked my comment on Facebook, so I'm assuming he's going to be listening out there. And Shannon's been another great, great friend of the show. I know he's the matchmaker over at King of the Cage, and he's still fighting. He's got so many things going on.
Oh, man, he's a phenomenal guy. He has, I think, a fight coming up this week. Is it Monday? Is it tomorrow? I'm not sure what the date is. I know it's coming up pretty quick. He's won, like, I think the last 9 fights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I know this year he hasn't lost, so he's doing phenomenal. I don't know. He's like an energizer bunny. He does so much stuff in MMA.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal guy, too. He's a good friend of mine. I'm glad. Without him, actually, I don't think I'd be in Bellator or, you know, be where I'm at today. So I really appreciate his help.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He really is. I Shannon's a good friend of the program. I've known Shannon for going back to 2008, and he does a lot for MMA, and it's great to see him so involved with the sport and everything.
Definitely.
He's the guy.
He's the most active MMA fighter in the world. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I think
the most fights in MMA of all time were pretty darn close to it.
Yeah, and really, there should be some push for individuals out there to try to help him get into Bellator or him get into the UFC, because I believe Shannon has fought in Pride, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah, he's fought in pretty much every show there is except Bellator.
Yeah.
And USC.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's, you know, a political thing why he hasn't fought in that or what, but I know he's a dangerous fighter. I've cornered him in several fights where he just destroys guys. If he's a confident fighter, he can beat anybody in the world, and I honestly believe that. He knows so much that he's probably forgotten more than I'll ever know. You know, hopefully, I do train with him sometime too, and he knows a lot of great little tricks that will get you the W, and, you know, that's what the game seems to be about, and that's what I need to make it about anyways.
Yeah, Shannon has fought in Pancrase, K1, Pride, King of the Cage, WEC. He's been all over the place. And MFC.
Yeah, I know he has a bunch of belts right now. I know that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, listen, Eric, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much again for coming back on Carson's Corner. I know a lot of people out there will be listening to this and keeping tabs on your career going forward. Again, thank you very much, and we wish you the best of luck in your fight. Hopefully you fight sometime very soon.
And everybody make sure you eat Patino diet. It's the best diet in the world. Thank you, guys.
Take care, Eric. Goodbye.
On fire, I'm gonna push you over the wire.
We're back live here on Carson's Corner. Big thanks to Eric Prindle for that update. We wish him the best of luck in his career moving forward. Always love watching Eric fight. And again, he's really, really good person in my opinion. Very, very good heart. Sportsmanship is all there. And you got to wish a guy like that well. You really do. All right, coming up in just a few moments, I want to play you an update with Dan Quinn. It's not a terribly too long update. Unfortunately, we had phone issues with my phone. I told you at the beginning of the program that the Metro PCS is a real disaster, okay? And I'm in the process of switching phone service providers, and I'm also trying to get a landline so I can take calls here and make calls. But that's really it. You've got Bellator that has an event coming up, Bellator, 119 or something like that. I lose track of this. You know, that's another thing, too, is how do you keep track of these events? There's so many events and so many fights, and it's just difficult to keep track. Even the guys that are paid to do this full-time have difficulty trying to, you know, pinpoint who fought who, when they fought. That's like it's become just a mere numbers game, you know. You've got the Bellator heavyweight or the Bellator pay-per-view coming up pretty soon, and that's pretty interesting with Rampage versus King Mo. Did you guys see the press conference? Was it last month I think it was last month between these two. It was just unbelievable. It's sort of what you see in the UFC. But as a fight itself, I wouldn't mind seeing that fight. I don't think it's going to be ended before the decision. I think but it'll wind up being probably King Mo will wind up taking a decision. But I don't know, though. You know, Rampage, the way he fought in his last fight, that real brutal knockout that he had, and just the way that guy's head hit the canvas, it was pretty, pretty frightening. But in any event, that's coming up. You've got another Bellator event coming up on the 9th. And also on May 9th, you've got MFC 40. Mark Pavlich's Maximum Fighting Championship over there in Canada. That's going to be pretty interesting as we interviewed Tom Galicchio on this program not too long ago. And that was actually a couple weeks ago, and he gave us a good update. He's fighting against Kurt Southern for a lightweight, or what was the division? Yeah, lightweight championship. And some other fights on that card. You can check out, go to MaximumFighting.com, and you can check out more information on that card. So some interesting things going on in the sport of mixed martial arts, just from a fight fan's perspective, you know, just seeing these fights. All right, without further ado, let's go to Dan Quinn here. We had an opportunity to interview Dan Quinn or get an update from him. There's really no interview with Dan. And this was conducted last week. Okay, let me just find it here in our studio. And, it was last week. And, again, we had difficulties with the phone, but I edited out all the dead space, so you should be able to hear Dan. You should be able to, you know, make out what he's saying. So here is Dan Quinn.
I got about a half hour. How long do you have?
Not that much.
Okay.
I probably have 20 minutes.
Okay. Just go. We're recording right now, my friend.
All right. We're recording right now. Kim.com, okay, from now on, KBC, much more important than lots of stevia easily curing ex-Buffalo Bills quarterback Jim Kelly's cancer and making Perry's tour that acts like the fountain of youth, KBC, and is eventually going to equal a fortune that'll allow you to use money to legally attack your enemies, and there won't be a fucking thing they can do about it. Petroleum, gasoline, EDC. Google actually says that it's H14 plus C6, Bob Carson, okay, that actually makes petroleum, gasoline, flammable hydrogen gas. That makes it flammable hydrogen water, okay? The internal combustion engine vaporizes forever that hydrogen gas in the smog, and it's eventually replaced by all the toxic warning, caution, danger, will kill you chemicals that, quote-unquote, they sell us to use because they're trying to kill this planet, all right? Now, Earth is an eventual desert, okay? The 1% Illuminati, okay, getting that mass murder, 95% reduction of the human population they're talking about, hit. Stevia is putting water in his H2O natural gas and blowing off the blender tops, okay, and hitting the ceilings equals a schematic for a rudimentary engine. We got to outlaw internal combustion engines, Bob Carson. Food for thought, Kim.com. What's more important for Justin Bieber, being a bad boy with hands or getting the fountain of orgasm for women, a.k.a. the levitator out of Worcester, Massachusetts, because pussies come off beds, Bob Carson, to attack bases, okay? Globally famous. But number one, he should work his...
Hello? Hello?
From
Daniel Quinn,
an inmate at Sacramento County Jail, to accept this
call. Oh my God.
This call and all future calls.
Did you
a call and note to you from
Daniel Quinn,
an inmate at Sacramento County Jail, to accept this call. Five, to repeat this call will be recorded and subject to monitoring at any time. Thank you for using IC Solutions. You may begin speaking now.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dan. I think it's my phone is horrendous here, man. The reception has been
okay.
Getting worse.
Okay. So are we back on right now?
We are, Dan.
Okay. Bob, I'm going to throw the script to the side. It comes down to this, okay? There's a lot of famous people in the world, and some of them are trying to kill this motherfucking planet, and some aren't, all right? I mean, some fund shell oil, you know, there's petroleum that fuck the environment up, you know, get away with it. And then other people, like Woody Harrelson, are supposedly trying to do good, right, Bob?
Yep.
Is that right? Okay. Well, everybody listening right now, when I get out, I'm going to be fucking a little chubby, okay? Went from 205 to 245, got a belly on me, okay? I can still see my penis, but it's getting iffy, all right? And I'm going to go single-digit body fat so quick, so fucking fast, Kim.com. It's going to blow people the fuck away. But problem is, Bob, you drive a car, correct?
My car is dead.
How much is gas right now, Bob? How much?
$3.50 a gallon.
$3.50 a gallon for flammable fucking water that is smoked into smog. It's gone, okay? Einstein's fucking wrong. Hey, I've heard a theory, Bob, that Einstein was actually retarded, and he worked in a patent office, and every smart thing that he did was stolen. All right? Ever heard that one?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So, the fact of the matter is, turns water into what a beautiful PhD in Roseville, California said was gas, all right? My uncle said it was gas, too. The liquid underneath, that liquid soap that floats at the end of the blend, Kim.com, it bought a 17-year-old cat that was sneezing blood bubbles at the vet. That's 119 years old, Kim.com, at the vet, about to be put to sleep. The stuff underneath, all that warning, danger, toxic, caution will kill you, so I call it Perry's 2-0. I blended it in tuna fish, and Peachy wrapped herself into perfect health. Now, my mom validated that's true for you, correct, Bob, when you were out here?
Yes.
Yes, all right. It's a new discovery, all right? Yeah, it's a little before my time, unfortunately. And I don't want to be one of these guys that has to die before his shit gets famous. And so what I'm thinking is it would be cool for everybody in the NFL listening, okay, they're probably not, but guys that are fans of dudes in the NFL are listening right now. Isn't it true, Bob, that guys in the NFL are fucking gods? Isn't it true?
They're looked at as gods, yes, absolutely.
Can I say that again?
They're looked at as gods, absolutely.
Exactly, okay. And Cedric Figaro, all right, would you please get your fat ass probably in gear and start validating the truth that Dan Quinn walked the fuck away from football because I would have had coaches killed, all right? Now, Bob, seriously, Clay Matthews Jr., all right, he's pretty famous, right? Everybody loves him. Women love him. Is that right, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. If Tim Brown is in front of Clay Matthews Jr. and he's gone for a touchdown, does Clay catch him from behind, Bob?
I think so.
You think that Clay Matthews could actually catch Tim Brown from behind?
I it's probably a matter of opinion. You're probably more informed about that than I am.
Wow. You know what? Clay, you're a fucking stud, man. I love your dad, all right? Just a little bit younger than him. Yeah, loved your dad at USC. Always wanted to be a Trojan. Never wanted to win one. If it's not for Russ Cornell, I am at the USC Trojan football fucking factory, all right? And I'm in the NFL. I should have been in the NFL from Notre Dame. You know what, Clay? The fact is, Russ Purnell, the guy that fucked it all up, okay, actually made it so I had my kids, so I wouldn't trade for the world. And I got two fucking studs that could be models, and they actually like each other. How many brothers and sisters do you know, Bob, that like each other or actually hate each other?
I would say more the latter.
More the latter, right? They don't get along, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Now, I was blessed, all right? My two kids that are fucking absolute studs. I wouldn't trade them for the world, Clay Matthews Jr. The fact is, if I'm at USC, the stevia thing is famous. And it's not just about saving lives, okay? Because there's so many people in the world. There's so many people that America, in 200 years, going 300 million strong from 13 colonies, kicks China's ass.
Hello? Oh, my God. This is horrendous. Fucking Metro PCS. What a disaster. This is really... Yeah, man.
Okay. No, you're not to me, money. Don't sound fucking dejected, all right? I'm on the air. I'm out on the air right now.
You are at the end. Is this eating into your minutes?
Yeah, it's eating into the money. It's no big deal. But if Jeremy Bieber, okay, sounds pretty fucking cool, man. I read the article on Justin in Rolling Stone, okay? Jeremy Bieber. In Rolling Stone magazine, Bill Gates admitted that the rich are killing this fucking planet, Bob. Seriously, you know what he said? Bill Gates admitted a big no-no. He said, you know what? Solar power is very, very hard because when the sun shines, electricity is worth nothing, okay? So all the money is going to be given to the guy that can give power when there's no sun and there's no wind. You know what that means, Bob? That means that the rich are fucking this world, okay, in the ass on purpose, Bob Carson. You realize that?
Absolutely.
You just heard that? Now, Jeremy Bieber sounds like he's hella cool, okay? Justin Bieber, fact not fiction. Boogaloo, the artist of the bad boy, told me that when I knocked five motherfuckers out at Juanita that attacked me, it was his inspiration. Look at my picture, Bob Carson. How close to the bad boy do I look when I'm 19, 20, 21 years old?
Almost identical.
Almost identical. Okay, the bad boy is me. Justin Bieber, have you ever heard of somebody knocking five dudes out, okay, that come to attack? It was actually four that came to attack me. And then fucking one dude that stepped in and thought he was going to fucking impress his girlfriend, okay, and got knocked out. Steven Seagal, how many guys literally have you knocked out, okay, at the same time? I got lucky, man, okay? It was a fucking once-in-a-lifetime event. But the fact is, I'm not famous like I should have been. And you know what, Bob? If I was famous back then, I wouldn't realize how cool many, many, many guys that are locked up are, right? I figured out, Bob, that the rich make these fucking laws that ensnare innocent people, okay? Did you know that Carl Magnon, man, had a pouch on him that had weed and mushrooms, okay, to take him to another dimension mentally? Did you know that, Bob?
No.
Okay, yeah, straight up. Carl Magnon, man, they found a...
Hello? All right. This is really bad.
What do your status updates say? You're learning a new language? Going all organic? Instead of typing your feelings, what if you could put them into action? By creating a network to help keep kids off the streets? In a country like Armenia? Or in Honduras? What if every ounce of your being helped update the status of a person? And in turn, they did the same for you? Would this be enough social interaction? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. Get interactive at peacecorps.gov/game.
All right, we're back live here on Carson's Corner, and that's about it. It is closing time here on Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson, and I want to tell you, if you want, you could friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. You can like the Carson's Corner Facebook page at facebook.com/CarsonsCorner13. And please follow us on Blog Talk Radio here at blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.